Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
The Stars play on the ticket this Saturday, so SMU Mustangs football is on our sister station 570 KLIF. The number 22 ranked Ponies gallop into Durham to battle the Duke Blue Devils. Tomorrow, pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7. Brought to you by Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm, Clearsight LASIK, and Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Over at Fan and Tree Farm next Friday as the Musers, the Invasion, and the Hardline broadcast live from Fan and kicking off their final sale of the year, their Texas Arbor Day sale. We'll have the Marconi Award on site, so stop by to get your photo taken with it. That's the Musers, Invasion, and Hardline next Friday at Fan and Tree Farm in Frisco, located on Highway 121 between Custer and Independence.
All right, it's Friday Fun Time. It's sponsored by
Twin Peaks.
Thank you to those fine people. We're live in San Francisco. Getting ready for Cowboys Niners on Sunday night. We got a big day planned tomorrow, big day planned on Sunday. We're going to take DJ over to Sausalito.
Okay. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to have fun over in Sausalito.
Really? Why is that?
Well, DJ, it's a wonderful place. We'll take you on the Robin Williams tour of sadness.
Oh my. Sounds fun.
Yes. Okay, so this morning started off very early. If you were listening to the show back in the 3 o'clock hour, we all got up around 4:30, 5 o'clock. I can't remember. And away to the airport we went, and we were all on our flight by 6:20 or so. And there was a weird announcement that was made. And as we said, there was a lot of people traveling out to San Francisco from a cowboy perspective, right?
Sure.
I posted a picture of a fan that I mistook for DJ that at 6 in the morning was fully not only cowboyed out, but he's got jersey on with the dumb giant hat.
Big necklaces.
Huge chain necklaces.
Can I just say,
go on.
I've never felt the game has passed me by more than when I see somebody wearing those giant baseball hats. Like, nothing makes me feel like I should be sitting on a porch somewhere talking about the good old days.
Yeah.
Quite like the massive oversized baseball hat. I don't get it. I don't think I'm supposed to get it. I realize I'm the grandpa from The Simpsons, and who understands that?
I don't know.
I'm a baseball cap connoisseur, and I would never.
Just no. tell me what they cost. Tell me what that guy paid.
Are those $100 or more?
Cowboy,
it's got to be. A normal hat is $40 or $50.
Just seems like the people that wear them would not want to hang out with me anyway.
No. Well, the bottom line is DJ can attest to, and you too, Bob, being of,
oh my gosh, $129.99.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Plus $30 in freight shipping because it's so big.
Yes.
$129.99. Who is buying that?
Did you guys not find it odd? Because there were a lot of Latin flavor, or a lot of Latin flavor to our trip.
Boy,
as far as the clientele goes.
He's noticed the Asians and the Latins now.
Unbelievable. From the cowboy perspective.
Teflon Corby.
From a cowboy perspective. Okay, let's hear this. How is it from a cowboy perspective?
There seemed to be a few Hispanics on the flight. So imagine my shock when the flight attendant was going over the instructions as everybody was entering the plane. And she was like, welcome to flight 333 to San Francisco. Everybody get their seat. It's a totally full flight. And remember, two carry-on items. One will go above in the large bins, and the other will be stowed beneath your seat in front of you. And for those who don't know, we prefer that you would flip your large bag in the overhead bin on its side, like a taco.
And that made you perk up.
Yes! And then I look back at DJ, who was like, oh, now I get it.
comprendo.
Like a taco.
Didn't you just say sideways?
I don't know.
And everyone would know what you meant.
Let's see. How can I say this?
And then half the plane gets up, and they're like, ah!
You mean sideways like a hot dog?
Yeah. Dude, it was, to me, it was offensive.
Yeah.
As a native.
I noticed you wrote a letter of complaint.
Oh, I did shoot a text off in about 1 second to you guys. Bob didn't get it, though, because they don't get texts in first class.
No. But I got it when we landed, so we were good.
That leads us to a couple of odd things that we've seen out here in San Francisco. One of them being, we saw this twice, and I don't think I've ever seen this in Dallas before. And maybe this is a San Francisco thing. Because we saw two groups of children.
Yes. Tell me more about this.
Snake.
These kids were probably between 5 and 7, I would say.
Maybe not even that old. Honestly, it looked like, was it a preschool class at the start of Meet the Parents, where they're all supposed to get in the right order and hold up the Marry Me? Ben Stiller's girl.
These are tiny humans.
Yes, just a collection of America's future. All enjoying a nice little walk on a beautiful day.
So let's say that in the town of San Francisco, we saw one group that consisted of about 7 kids, and the other one consisted of about maybe 10.
Yeah.
And two completely different areas of town. There obviously were teachers slash parents that were with them, maybe 3 to, you know, the watching the 7 kids.
Right.
Or 10 kids. These kids were adorned with what appeared to be construction worker yellow vests.
Yes. Reflector-based safety vests. Which you might say, if we're going to jog at 4 in the morning around White Rock Lake, we should be wearing those blinking lights or something just to let people know we're there so there's no accidents. But this is middle of the day. They're walking on a sidewalk. They're all tethered to a... to a long rope or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, so they have a bone.
I don't really get it. Like, I took a picture of it. I'll put it out there on Twitter.
Oh, good.
I don't really understand. I mean, I guess I understand the functionality of it, but I also, is there not a better way? Is it because the city is so busy? I mean, Dallas is busy.
It definitely feels.
They're all chained together. Wearing construction outfits.
And the picture I got, the 3 caretakers all have latex gloves on and masks. And they're in the middle of a park. It's just very strange.
I think we know what's happening here. In California.
What's that, Bob?
The over litigious. Left-leaning capital of the world.
I respect the protection of America's youth and the future of this country.
Over bureaucracy.
But I wonder if this is some sort of town policy that if you have X amount of kids under a certain age and you're in the city, that they all have to be tethered together. Seriously.
At some point, some daycare or kindergarten lost a kid.
Yeah.
Or maybe
right, it happened once.
Maybe a bike messenger ran into one of them, and it's horrible. We don't want it. But now every kid who is raised in California has to wear a giant construction worker vest just to walk to the park.
All right. So there was...
Too far.
There's a documentary that's out on the Golden Gate Bridge.
This is not freedom.
And it's not a documentary on how the bridge was made, although I would love to see that documentary, as that bridge is one of the true seven wonders of the world.
Yeah, if you were expecting to see how the bridge was made, you were in for a bad time with this movie.
Yes. This movie is called The Bridge. It's a documentary that came out in, I think, 2006 or 7 or 8.
Yes, Bad Radio Reports definitely featured this because I was all over this when it came out.
So back in 2004, there were, and we may talk about this here in a couple of segments in depth, but there were 24 people that jumped off the bridge to their death. Suicides.
Yes.
And that's what this documentary is about.
Yeah,
it's
believe...
It's the saddest documentary ever.
Is it the most common place in the country or in the world for suicides?
I think it's the country.
I was going to say, it's got to be the suicide forest in China, isn't that?
Yeah. I think you're right. So
Japan, thank you.
Yeah, so this is the U.S. Most common place where someone will kill themselves. And honestly, when you walk across the Golden Gate Bridge, you think to yourself, man, I'm not sure you would die. I feel like you would just be diving into the water. And obviously, I have no idea what
the impact of
the water. Yes, for the impact of the water from that high. First of all, it's way higher than it appears.
Yeah.
And second, hitting water at that velocity is probably really bad for your skull.
It is. You don't want to do that if you want to live.
Although I'm sure many people have survived.
Have they?
I bet.
Okay. Well, beyond all that, in this documentary, they interview this family, this Hispanic family, that just so happened to be on the bridge at the point of this one woman jumping off. There are two kids. One of them is like 5 years old or 7 years old, and you'll hear him here in this interview. And
it's a very sad scene, and then it becomes unintentionally funny.
It is horrible because they're talking about seeing this woman jump over the railing, and the kid is talking too. And then the kid says something, and I swear to God, this is the most left-turn, out-of-place quote in a sad documentary that I think I've ever seen.
Taking pictures to them, and Paolo was taking pictures to us, and they were playing.
And I got scared.
He was holding the baby, and we were walking,
and we saw that lady.
This lady, yes, put
the bag on the ground, and she jumped off.
When I said, she jumped, and I was like,
and she told my brother, we'll call the cops.
Well, Paolo went running down to get some help because I want somebody to help her, because for us it was the first time to see somebody jump at the bridge. And before she jumped, she looked at me and Vidal, and she was laughing. She laughed like a smile, like, you don't know what I'm going to do, but she smiled and jumped.
And She was acting like a gorilla or something.
Ay, Sebastian. No, that's not. he likes to make things up.
Hi, Sebastian.
I mean, all of it, like, she looked at me and she was laughing, and it's so sad. This woman was like so crazy out of her mind that she was laughing about it before she jumps. And then here comes Sebastian from left field. Yeah, she was acting like a gorilla or something. Hi, Sebastian. Why would they leave that in there?
I don't know. It was a very touching moment, and then it took a real turn.
And they cut away from the scene right after that, too, so they could have easily cut that out.
It had no purpose that she was acting like a gorilla.
It's funny as little Sebastian, who's not the horse, he's the young boy, but as little Sebastian is taking over the scene, the mom keeps trying to reel the scene back in. And Sebastian's just doing his own show over there.
Can you play the end of that one more time?
She was acting like a gorilla or something.
Ay, Sebastian. No, that's not. he likes to make things up.
No, I don't, Mom.
Hi, Sebastian. All right, let's continue with Friday Fun. We're out here in San Francisco. We'll have part two of Friday Fun. We took a trip to Kezar Stadium.
Yes.
We'll get back into Cowboys, Niners, all of it next.
I'm a baseball cap connoisseur.
60 more minutes of the hard line. 60 more minutes of the hard line. 64 minutes.
You gotta turn your mic on.
Whoops. We're continuing our fun out here. I'm so used to others doing it, like Ham.
It would be nice if someone out here would turn on our mics, DJ.
Can you run over here, DJ?
I refuse. Do it yourself.
Mr. Corby.
Why are you making him turn on his mic? He has to push that button all by himself?
So far away from my hand. So, yeah, we're live at KNBR. We got 48 hours until Cowboys Niners. We got here, look, the earliest flight we could get on was a 7 o'clock flight. And by the time you get car rental and everything else. By the way, that's another thing about San Francisco I can't figure out. We only had time to eat lunch and basically come right here to KNBR.
Brunch.
That airport sits on some of the most badass property that the coastline has to offer. And I wonder if they would like a do-over on it, just developers in general, because it seems like that, yeah, it's really cool that the airport is right on the water and you're flying over the ocean basically to land. But at the same time, an airport right here on the water, like,
but that's so common. There must be a,
I know.
There must be a reason. There must be a reason that so many airports are right on the shore. And I think, you know, I learned this. Boy, this is going to sound common, man. I learned this because I was interested in golf courses and, mm-hmm. and golf courses are often built on places that you can't really build anything else. Whether it be floodplains or whether it be old landfills,
yeah.
Like isn't Trinity Forest on an old landfill?
It is.
Okay, so many, it's like repurposed real estate that is not ideal for like housing or things like that. There are other places and other things in society that grab those spots. And I'm wondering, for all of our smart people out there, there must be a reason that what appears to be primo waterside properties are commandeered as airports. There must be. I don't know what it is. I really don't. And maybe it's just eminent domain that the airport serves such a great purpose for our citizens that we're going to take this land and not let it be condos. I don't know.
But I mean, the condos would be pretty badass.
Yeah, but we need an airport, Corby. We need to get these people to their condos. So I don't know.
So we took a trip after our brunch to show DJ, who had never been here before. And, you know, we get out here about once every 5 years or something like mm-hmm. that, it seems like, to show him Kezar Stadium. Kezar Stadium is the old San Francisco 49ers battleground.
Yes.
It is on the edge of Golden Gate Park in one of the really cool areas. And I mean, if you've been to a, you know, one of the major cities before, whether it's like Boston Commons or Grant Park or Hyde Park in Chicago or obviously Central Park in New York, they all have these giant multi-use parks that seem like every single time I come back, there's something different and cooler about it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the central hub of these cities. As far as activity goes, well, this park housed at one time the San Francisco 49er Stadium. And not only did they house it, your Dallas Cowboys played.
Boy, this says also the Raiders were housed there originally.
Are you serious?
So the AFL and the NFL both exist, and much like the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
That housed the Cowboys and the Dallas Texans. The same is true for Kezar with the Niners and the Raiders.
So you're on the site there. At what point did Candlestick Park get built when they moved? It had to have been mid-70s?
The last game at Kezar Stadium was the 1970 NFC Championship game won by the Dallas Cowboys.
So that is the infamous game where you see, I think it's Ralph Neely, doing somersaults on the sideline after the Cowboys engineered a huge comeback in the fourth quarter to beat San Francisco. And it's so weird, as DJ can attest to, pulling up there to this stadium that now looks like something that, I mean, like maybe one of the big suburb middle schools would have as their stadium.
I was going to say it looks like a really nice private school's football stadium.
Yeah.
Super nice, really nice, but not much seating.
No, and I think what they did was they took off on both sides the top deck area. But it's such a tiny footprint. Like, it's unbelievable to think that any type of professional game could be played there. And I get it, things were probably way different 50 years ago. Where in the hell did people park? Because there is nothing around there. I don't know if they walked. I mean, San Francisco is such a small city, and that's why Levi Stadium, I think, is way far away from actual San Francisco. Kind of in the same vein as Cowboy Stadium, AT&T, whatever. You know, it's not in the city of Dallas.
Right.
But Kezar is tiny. I'll send a photo right now.
Yeah, it's very tiny. And by the way, if you're interested, this game is on in its entirety on YouTube, and it's actually a very good copy. It's well preserved, and like, you won't believe the quality of the video. Look at how nice that looks. The
Holy
NFC Championship
crap.
Game from 1970 looks absolutely amazing, and there's just a great copy on YouTube. I remember this was a item of great intrigue amongst us nerds who collect old NFL games. And this is the first NFC Championship game. So 1970
That's
was
right.
the merger. And the winners of the, obviously, the two championship games meet in the Super Bowl as of Super Bowl Five, four?
I would say four, but
No, it's got to be five because the Cowboys won and they went and played the Colts.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's interesting. Now I'm all confused. But yeah, this was a game that it was 46 degrees. The 49ers were favored by 4 points and the Cowboys went in there and won. And so if you want to know about quarterback legacies, guys, here you go. Here is the winning quarterback's passing numbers that day. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Craig Morton attempted 22 passes.
Okay.
He completed 7.
Oh, God.
For 101 yards, he was sacked twice, and his passer rating was 62.9. Threw 1 touchdown and won the game, so quarterback wins. And that is what it takes to win a game to go to the Super Bowl. 7 for 22 for 101 yards.
I just posted the photos that we took earlier today from Kezar, not knowing. I took a selfie with DJ.
Yeah.
DJ, I just learned what you did in my photo that I was going to show to my children, and you didn't take it as seriously as I did. I'm like, oh, this
jeez, DJ.
I thought he was going to stop me, and then he didn't.
What kind of photo is that?
I was preserving the memory of this great historic place.
By doing that with your hands and your tongue? Jeez.
Yeah. I don't see any problem.
Number one.
Oh, man.
What do you think of that picture, Ham?
Awesome.
Hey, you don't have to ask. He thinks it's awesome because of DJ, but, like, look at it from an NFC championship perspective.
Yeah, that's the site of a very important football game, Ham. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah, forget the football. DJ just kicked ass, and that's what I'll care about. DJ won the whole day.
By the way, it looks like the scene where the Little Giants played, honestly.
Right.
It does.
Yes.
I see the Cowboys and the Little Giants playing right now.
They ran the annexation of Puerto Rico, didn't they?
No seats in the end zones. No, just very, very basic seating.
So I was talking to the fellas up here at KNBR about the game on Sunday, and he was asking about, you know, Klay Thompson being in Dallas and all that and the vibe. And I was like, it looked really cool last night. And then he was talking about the Warriors and just what a circus those games were, you know, for a decade straight and still are. They will be probably until Steph leaves. But he was like, but you guys know about that. He's like, all the Cowboy games have got to be that way. I'm like, they are. And they're a zoo from the standpoint of people flying into the stadium to see you play and travel. And he said this. He said, San Francisco travels so well that because they carry the Niners games, and he's one of the engineers that runs the broadcast. And he was like, we travel so incredibly well that even in Seattle, where you think it's the biggest home field advantage that you have, he says it's like 30% every single time they go there, 30 to 40% San Francisco fans.
Yeah.
Which is, amazes me.
I wonder.
I think they're an underrated fan base overall.
No, they are.
We tend to think
they're annoying too.
We tend to think of Green Bay, Kansas City,
the
Cowboys. But as far as like traveling and things like that, and the Cowboys certainly do, Pittsburgh, those are probably the big ones.
New Orleans.
But San Francisco is a badass fan base. But as he said, he goes, dude, we're always amazed every single time this game happens at how many Cowboy fans are here.
Excuse me. I don't know what just about happened.
It's sad.
But I was touched by that for sure. But I wanted to get in one last thing about Kezar.
Yeah.
So this description says the stadium at its height held 60,000 people, which seems impossible, George. And it was a lively blue-collar venue where fans were permitted to bring their own alcohol.
Hell yeah.
And fights were quite common. To protect the players, the team strung fencing and chicken wire above the tunnel to the field. So there you go.
Looks like it.
Bring your own alcohol to an NFL game.
Robert Walonski and David Moore team up for another season of Intentional Grounding. Wednesdays at 7 after the Hard Line. Brought to you by Milam & Green Whiskey. And Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Tick.
They don't have shelters, but their stories. Yippee-yay, community crickets. Yippee-yay, community crickets. Everybody loves community crickets.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah. Brought to you by
Frankel & Frankel.
And here's Kobe.
So getting on the plane this morning too, DJ and I were laughing. Bob got on the plane way before DJ and I did. We were in group 11. Bob was in group 1. Bob was in group half.
Group 3.
Bob boards with the veterans, first class.
No, I don't.
And, yeah, you
and
do.
First class is already on.
The crippled.
But,
and Bob.
But when I hear that it's a very full flight, I want my little roller suitcase to have a home. I don't want him to check it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm surprised you actually didn't bring your giant, ridiculous hockey bag.
Well?
And we had to wait for freaking 2 hours to get the bag.
I'm impressed. I swear, you know what I do is I keep to myself and I still get ridiculed constantly for every move I make. But once again, if you had size 14 shoes and you wish to work out when you are away from home, It fills an entire roller bag to have two size 14s in there. Then I have no room for anything else.
And so, of course, the only bag that I have is the dumb bag that my wife bought me for like a Father's Day or something with a stupid OU on the back of it.
I think it's awesome.
And...
it's such a cheap bag, too. It's not a good rolling bag at all.
It's horrible.
It looks horrible,
too. It was a gift. So what am I going to do?
You know what I was telling DJ?
No, what were you telling him?
My dream is for all of us to just show up on a trip with roll-away OU bags that are identical.
I'm like, wait, what?
Either that or Corby gets a bag that represents all of his allegiances.
No. We determined that I need a bag. That I need a bag that just says... Power 5.
And he really likes college football.
So into the Power 5.
Yes, or like Pool and Weed Eater Bowl or something. Yeah, it'd just be wonderful.
But then we're waiting to go to the rental car place on the train, and this guy, of course, first off, he looks at my bag, and he was like, did they make you check the Buckeyes when you checked in? And I was like, what? Yeah, your Buckeyes, did they make you check those in? I was like, it's actually an Oklahoma bag because it just says OU.
So he thought that was Ohio State?
He did. And then, of course, oh, yeah. And then waiting on the train and he keeps talking.
College football. He could tell you were a college football blowhard.
Yeah.
He identified as a college football blowhard. And wanted to see what you had.
And at this point, I'm convinced that you guys put him up to it, even though there was no way because we were never 2 feet apart the whole time. And he goes, I haven't been keeping up with college football this year. How are the Sooners doing?
Oh, man.
Why didn't you interact
Why
with
weren't
them?
We rolling?
I did. And
no,
I was like,
you were blowing him off. You were big timing him the entire time.
No, because I was like, not good, man. Not good at all. And he goes, oh, Are they going to join my Seminoles in the toilet bowl?
Yes.
I was like, what great. I'm looking around going, what's happening here?
What great college football small talk.
You could have asked him about the new ACC. There was a ton to talk about him.
Always
all, SMU.
Him.
Yes.
Always yeah. to punctuate it with the toilet bowl is perfect.
Then we landed, and what was the terminal that we landed in?
The Harvey Milk Terminal.
Yes! Yes!
I'm like, son of a gun.
I did arrange that. There are very few things I can arrange, but I made sure that we landed in the Harvey Milk Terminal.
So before you showed up at the Dallas gate when we were leaving this morning, I got there. Now, it helps that it takes very... very few minutes to get from my house to the airport. I basically live at the airport. It was I got a deal on property. If you just build your home outside Terminal B, they'll cut you a deal on land. But I got there and I'm waiting at the gate, and a lady walks up to me who does not speak English, and I don't want to be as crass as Corby, but I do believe she represented the country of China.
Interesting.
Here, reach into your beard and pull the TV out right now, because just go like this.
What I got going on?
You've got like a... he's never going to get it out.
What's going on?
Ah, something just fell out.
Okay, it's out. All right. It was just some giant thing.
It's from this or something.
Yeah. This is what happens when you have a big beard. You don't even know what's in it.
Yeah, I had a cabbage in there. So a Chinese lady who does not know English starts motioning at me.
No disrespect.
And so she had a boarding pass on her phone, but it was completely in Chinese, or what I assume to be Chinese writing.
No disrespect.
Definitely not using our alphabet. How about sure. that? And so she's motioning to me and to the gate and then to her boarding pass. And I'm trying to sort of play this game of what is she asking me? And I then assumed that she's asking, is this the right gate? So I look at her boarding pass and it says San Diego on it. Those are the only letters of our alphabet that I see. Is San Diego, and she sees San for San Francisco and says, well, this looks like a match.
No.
I'm here.
Did you go, you idiot?
No, I did not. I felt exactly how I would feel if I was in a airport in like Beijing that I would hope somebody
Why
would
Beijing?
Be.
Why Beijing?
It was the only place I could name in China.
Oh, okay.
What other Chinese airports would you like me to
Corby.
Represent?
Wuhan?
Wuhan.
Fair point. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I assume that we have to get her to the San Diego gate, and I'm trying to explain that C-21 is not C-38, but you need to go to C-38, which is that way. And, then she writes down C-32 on her little notepad, and I'm like, no. C-38. So it was a very
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, it was, yeah. You know, and it was, I felt like I almost wanted to walk her all the way down to her gate.
Yeah, but not enough.
But not enough because it's 5:30 in the morning. But,
it would have been way better if she would have been like in the end where you're just like kind of throw your hands up in the air and she's like looking at you and she goes, I'm just joking, Sterminator. I love you, man.
Big but, listener.
Love you on the nighttime show, man.
But the end of the story was that San Diego is not San Francisco.
Indeed.
Yeah.
It is not. Okay, so we watched that documentary on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right.
Which we found out is, in the United States, the most popular spot for one to commit suicide, which kind of floors me.
Number one.
And I guess it's just maybe most people that do that don't do it in a public setting. And so if you do... are going to do it, it adds up quickly.
Yeah, in the last 20 years, the Golden Gate Bridge averages 30 suicides per year. And they actually have like a catch net now to reduce it. And apparently, in the first year of the catch net, which was 2023, so it's like Topgolf.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
They cut the number to 14. So 30 years per year, put in the catch net, and they've cut the number in half. Which is interesting, because you would think if you jumped into a catch net, you could then jump again and avoid the catch net.
I don't understand how they can't make it 100% foolproof to jump off of any point. Like, whether you're cutting things in half or not, it would seem like that it wouldn't take that much technology-wise to where not one human outside of a Spider-Man type guy is going to be able to ascend, climb over, and jump.
Well, what's your design so it doesn't ruin the aesthetics for, like, tourists who are just walking or riding their bike over? Like, you don't want, like, glass.
No, but I mean, okay, think about it. Think about it from a baseball perspective, where remember the guy at the old ballpark at Ranger Stadium, whatever it was called back then, he fell over the railing trying to catch a foul ball. Not the guy, not Shannon Stone, but
in the infield. I was at the game.
At the infield one.
Yeah, I was at that game.
And they took steps to where you kind of can't do that anymore. Like, you're not, it's almost impossible to fall over that railing now, I think.
Yeah, well, the railings are high enough. They just climb them.
I know. But couldn't you make it in a shape?
You could grease them, maybe.
Yeah, grease them every day. But make it in a shape like, you know what I'm saying, like you it out, where it's...
I just think there's probably people that are fighting to preserve the design of this wonder of the world.
No, you're probably right.
Engineering design, so you don't ruin it for everybody. I don't know. It's interesting, though.
All right, so publicly, what do we have as far as top 10 goes? If San Francisco is number 2 in the world... Number one in the United States.
They're mostly in China. You've got one in Sydney, Australia called The Gap. Niagara Falls.
Okay, that
makes the list at number 5.
Is unbelievable to me that people, like, I get it, you're ending it all, so you probably don't think about this, but you guys have you been to Niagara Falls, Bob?
I have, yes.
I've never been.
Dude.
I'm saving it till my suicide. That's when I'm going to go.
So scary. I would be scared out of suicide. It's so horrific, like, just looking at it. It's like, I don't want to die that way. That's a mauling.
Yeah.
Says Niagara Falls, the site of 2,780 known suicides.
Yeah, the thing about the Golden Gate Bridge is they're unable to confirm so many of them because they're just
they don't see it.
Taken out to the ocean, I suppose.
Yeah.
Taken out to sea.
Big water.
Well, and this documentary, I don't know how they did it, but they filmed a bunch of these people doing it.
No, I think they had...
They're just camped out,
like,
waiting.
People waiting for the next suicide so they could capture it for the movie. And I believe there was a big moral discussion of, do you get involved? Or should you be making a movie about this topic, or should you be attempting to save their lives? And I think there are arguments in both directions.
Because the whoever the director is, or director of photography, whoever filmed this, it's not like an iPhone guy. They're sitting there on the shore, and they can see these people that are loitering, and they focus on them, because that's the ending, is seeing that long-haired guy with the long curly black hair that they talk about the whole movie.
Yeah.
He eventually jumps, like, swan dives off of it or whatever.
It's a very sad documentary. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
They also list the Sunshine Skyway Bridge in Tampa.
You mean Shunshine?
Shunshine?
Yeah.
And the San Diego Sunshine. Coronado Bridge.
That's right. The Coronado Bridge. All right. Well, thanks for cheering up the room, DJ.
Way to go, DJ. At least he contributed.
He did. That's what he did.
He took the picture with me, and then that.
The picture he didn't take very seriously.
Okay, so we got taken off the air yesterday. We didn't have time to get into, you know, the reason we went to San Francisco. Not only the game, but all that went on with the game.
What's done is done.
What's done is done indeed. And we were lucky enough to get to go to the game. I cannot tell you, Dave, how crazy it was to walk into Levi's Stadium, to walk into our section, to walk all the way up to where, what row we were on, turn to Bob and say, oh my God, it is literally the exact same seat that we had at Lambeau, which was horrendous.
Oh, no. Yes, corner what end zone happened? Almost at the very top of the stadium.
Yeah, and, you know, look, we get it. You're super lucky to be there, and we were. And I would just say in both cases, thank you, blessed, hashtag blessed. But it is exactly the same seat from exactly the same distance, meaning that the visiting team allotment that we were able to purchase at, I guess, the value that they sell them to the Cowboys. So I guess the visiting team sells them to the Cowboys, and then the Cowboys make them available to the families of the players, I guess, right?
Yeah.
And each time...
there's a little bit of juice.
There has to be an incredible markup to the visiting team. But anyway.
Yeah, lesson learned. Next year's hardline road trip, we'll just look at the secondary market first.
The secondary market, once the 49ers started losing, we probably could have been in the fifth row, like down on the field for the price that they were charging for face value. At least, whatever. All I can say is we were at the very, very top of both stadiums, and it's still football live and it's still watchable and all that, but it's way up there. And on this day, we were able to see that there was a serious headwind.
Oh my
when,
God.
When Dak threw that deep pass that was picked off in the first quarter, it was pretty obvious that that balloon ball just hung up in the wind, and that was a very bad plan to throw or kick in that general direction at that point.
The wind was blowing so hard up there.
In your face?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why they call it the Windy City.
Well, you're close.
What's around Levi out there in Santa Clara?
So nothing. So what happened was is there was a big fight, just like here, about where this thing was going to be built. The city of San Francisco was dragging their heels on all of it, and Santa Clara swooped in and said, we'll do it.
We'd like to give you a couple billion.
Just like Arlington did. Yeah. They're like, what's going on in Dallas? We'll do this right now. Bump up the cigarette tax or whatever it was, and we'll do it.
The greatest hustle in professional sports history was when we learned desperate suburbs wanted an identity and would give these teams whatever they want to come to their suburb.
So they don't have an entertainment district built up yet.
There's nothing. No, there's nothing. Matter of fact, I don't know if these were built in conjunction with one another or if the Levi Stadium was built around this. There is the crappiest... what would you even call it, DJ? It's like it's not a Six Flags. It's a amusement park of the smallest order.
It might be a Six Flags.
There's no way.
I only saw one roller coaster there.
Yes, like one ride. That's it. It looks so half-assed, and we parked right there. And by the way...
how long a drive?
It's called... okay, here's what it is. It's California's Great America, which is a Six Flags property.
Ugh. Beaten. How shameful to sit to the greatness of Six Flags.
Yeah, but the Great America thing, that's what I saw, and I recognized it because they had one north of Chicago when I was growing up, and it was called Six Flags Great America.
Was it a beater?
Gurnee, Illinois. No, I mean, to me as a kid, it was...
magical.
It was probably what heaven looks like, to be honest.
Maybe so from the city to Santa Clara, how long a drive are we talking?
So we were 20 minutes from the city in the Santa Clara direction from where we started, but I would say it's easily... a 50-minute drive minimum from the city.
Yeah.
Minimum.
Uh-huh.
And probably longer. It's a long way. It's the furthest, we think. It is the furthest stadium from the city bearing a team's namesake. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dallas is...
yeah, Arlington's
in the
mix. I think
I've seen that on a map.
Dallas is 15 miles, or Arlington's 15 miles from downtown Dallas.
That sounds like a very conservative estimate.
Well, it's 15 there. Am I right? About 15, 16. And then it's 24 to Fort Worth.
Okay. But it's down Tom Landry Expressway.
It is. Indeed it is.
And that kind of makes it part of Dallas.
So when we got there, we had a parking pass, thanks to the Cowboys. And we showed them our little parking pass on our phone.
Thanks to media.
Media, yes.
By the way, before we get too far away from it, there is only one team
between the Cowboys and the Niners as far as distance from the city center for the stadium? Can you name that team?
Patriots?
Yep.
Okay.
Foxborough.
Yeah.
What's the distance say?
Or do they have it? It's like between 35 and 40 miles for Levi's Stadium.
Where are the Commanders in all this?
Commanders are a little bit closer than the Dolphins.
Okay.
Yeah, the Dolphins are way out too.
Yeah.
Done that trick. But when we pulled up and they were like, oh, okay, media, you're right here. And they moved a barricade.
Yes.
And they basically just said, go. Now, with any other stadium that we've been to, there is a designated media lot.
And maybe a designated entrance off the streets.
Right.
But here.
Dude, this was the most half-assed.
This is very Mad Max.
Willy-nilly thing. Like, we did not know where we were going.
Just drive your car into the sea of people and figure it out.
Yes.
No one's paying attention, so people are walking very slowly, standing next to their tailgate, right in the path of where they told us to drive through.
Yeah.
It was so weird.
Yeah, if you think I'm nervous on California expressways in downtown San Francisco, wait till you just set me loose in a sea of humans not paying any attention with music blaring and 4 miles per hour Bob just trying to get through it.
And
telling everyone to be quiet and turning down the radio lest dad gets mad.
And then when we got out of there, I could not believe the lack of human workers that were out there in the parking lots directing traffic, because we could have killed about 1,000 people and I don't even know if anybody would have noticed. Like, there's one lane out to drive in. There's people. Yes, that's true. it was an S show. But once you got in there, as we were talking about during the game, their game presentation, I thought was awesome.
It's a fantastic atmosphere for football when they're all geeked up because they're playing the Cowboys and they obviously love their team right now. So I guarantee there have been some bad flat games played at that stadium, but I think it's built well to kind of hold in the noise. I think the game presentation is such to get people all fired up, and I really enjoy. I've been there now twice, and neither has gone super well for the Cowboys, but just in terms of a stadium with sight lines and atmosphere and just feeling like everybody is really into this, I think that's one of the better scenes in the NFL.
Yeah, for me it is, for sure. And I was worried because, not worried, but I thought we would see angry, borderline violent 49er fan.
Well, we saw a pregame fight.
There was one fight up in the upper deck, but
no way.
Where we were, in our upper deck.
If you want to see fights, head to the upper deck. That's yeah. Just a general NFL sure. Rule.
Where we were.
It's a class system, Bob.
It might be. If you pay $800 for your seats, you're less likely to fight than if you pay $200 for your seats.
Whether it was the parking lot or the stadium itself, I found the 49er fan to be like the most normal fans ever. I was expecting all muscled out, scary dudes that were ready to beat my ass. And there were a ton of Cowboy fans
like
there.
Displaced Raider fans.
Yes. I thought they were kissing cousins almost, you know?
Yeah. Cause if you, have you ever been or had you ever gone to the Coliseum?
No.
Before they moved?
No.
One time I did and that was frightening.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people say that about going to a Cowboy game.
Yeah.
That it's frightening.
I have had an experience or two that seemed a little weird, but I've been to a game at the Vet with Dan wearing a Deion jersey, so I know problematic venues
yeah.
In the NFL.
And I think that, look, I still think in my head as the 49ers of one of the Cowboys' three biggest rivals in the NFL. And I just thought there would be more angst toward it, but there really wasn't. It was actually quite pleasant in there.
I think the test would be to put you in a DAC uniform and to have you spend about a half cheering.
Loudly being, cheering.
Yeah, I think you're very docile and kind of neutral clothed because, of course, you were a credentialed member of the media.
Dave, I had my credential around my neck, as we all did. But my outfit of choice was my brand new Cal Bears hoodie.
So he's,
to throw off the scent.
He's telling them he's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a local.
I'm a lib, just like you.
A guy turned around and he goes, wait a minute. It says you're visiting media. And then he looked at my sweatshirt, but you're from Cal. I was like, it's a long story, bro. So there were very few incidents, which I found awesome.
Before you move on from that, like, I guess when we talk about aura and team image.
Yeah.
Like, I guess because of when we came up, you think of Bill Walsh and you think of the Niners as like a finesse team and a space age team, like the Cowboys of the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they have gotten more hard-nosed, more physical in this current iteration, but I still think of them as kind of a glamorous team. And but then you have that whole California, like, motorcycle,
yeah,
grit, bro, like, pumped-up, roided guy. And so it, what is the crowd mix? Is it, like, yuppie,
well,
kind of...
well, I don't know that we're...
Silicon Valley dudes and then big old cholo dudes? What is it?
Well, I think you can find a little of everything, but I will also reveal that having Corby with us motivated us to get from the top row of the stadium to a more welcoming part of the stadium.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
A more clubby level, you might say.
Well, how did this happen?
Well, we'll tell you next, and we'll also tell you of the one thing that San Francisco has in their game presentation that this city will never have. Next.
418.
Len.
Shout out to Len here on the ticket. It's the hard line back in Texas. Boots on the ground about one. Time to scurry back to the station. Cowboys Niners week and another hard line road trip has come to a close. I would say if you can go on the road in the NFL, it's worth doing. But you got to pick the right games and the right places. And I would also say it will teach you, and most everybody already knows this because they grew up at Texas Stadium, but it will teach you that there are many ways to present the NFL. And in my opinion, the one we get at AT&T Stadium is a very inferior product to what is offered across the league from a football energy, feel it in your bones. It's just, I feel.
Part of it's being inside.
Well, part of it, inside is part of it, but I think we've seen that the Superdome and many places can still bring the juice. The issue with the Cowboys is, I believe, when they designed the stadium, it was to monetize and to build the most luxurious, comfortable football stadium imaginable, as opposed to build a fortress of sound and a experience as a fan where you're trying to make it impossible for the visiting team to function. And there's two approaches, right?
Yep.
Well, and outside of the structure, the building at Cowboys Stadium, AT&T, it's just, as you said, it's everything is monetized.
Yes.
That the game presentation is just an excuse to cram in as many sponsorships as possible.
Right.
And then it's got a giant ladle of nacho cheese poured over the top of it.
Yeah, and the seats are so comfy. And the scoreboard, is the Jumbotron or the Jerry Vision, whatever we call that thing, is just so mesmerizing. And the clubs are so enticing and the shrimp are so big that before long you feel like you're at a concert or you're at a just a lovely experience. You're comfortable. You might want to take a nap. It's just
maybe a wedding reception.
It's just not to activate your primal screams as a football fan that we have to scare the other team and keep them from functioning well. And it's just, I've never thought it was a good idea. I do like new things. I do like comfortable things, but I think the point of building a stadium is to give your team an advantage. And I think it's pretty clear AT&T Stadium has never been an advantage for the Cowboys. No. Never.
No.
It's a beautiful neutral field for bowl games where two universities can meet there and say, what a nice structure this is.
That's exactly what it is.
This is so aesthetically pleasing to the eye. Is that artwork?
Right.
Is that a sky mirror? Our stadium does not have a sky mirror.
Where your wife that may be from, I don't know, Nashville can come in
China
and say, oh, this was great.
Yes.
This is a wonderful experience.
What a comfy place to watch a game. I wasn't uncomfortable the entire time. I didn't have to stand. It's just, so I think when we go around the league, I think you see that experience still exists in many, many places. And I think it matters, man. And I just think it's more of what Jerry's decided to do with the franchise. And it's his baby. Just ask him. But I think we took a wrong turn, and I think the Niners game experience was a far superior game experience.
So we're sitting at the very top. We're in the whatever end zone that was, and we're at the very, very top, only a couple of rows above us. And I'm eyeballing down low, like on about the 20-yard line.
We're not looking for some vacancies?
Yeah, we're not up there 10 minutes before Corby's looking for better possibilities. And in fairness to Corby, it worked wonderfully, but also every place that he saw was better than where we were at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things of having the worst seats in the house is that every place is an upgrade.
Could have moved up four rows. Yeah, and whoa, that was great.
This is better.
No, but Corby wanted to go for dose.
Well, so I see, like in the club level, I can see that there are a couple of rows, six seats that no one had occupied. And this was late in the first quarter. And I'm pointing it out to DJ and Bob going, you see that? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, those two rows right there, no one sitting there. Within 2 seconds, the top row gets filled by a family that just walked in. They were late to the game. But then there was another row below, beneath them. Well, we had our media pass. And I was like, surely we can
just blow by whatever.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you were a ticket holder, you could definitely work your way down to the standing areas and just stand behind people. But yeah, we were credentialed media. So, you know, part of the Corby experience, and I don't want to put this on him, but I do think if it was just me and DJ, we might have sat in those ridiculous seats and just complained. Corby fixes things. Corby
bends rules.
He doesn't accept the reality that's facing him. He creates his own memories and creates his own future.
He doesn't wait
for the betterment of the group.
No, you did. Nobody's denying that. And we also definitely saw it in Berkeley, which we'll get to later in the week. But
incredible.
But you know, yes,
this is the same guy who got us front row parking at Comerica Park with an NFL draft.
Oh, you wait.
Oh, just wait, Dave. Just wait. But in this particular case, like, he is not waiting for the game to come to him. He's going to get the game. And you get rewarded for that sometimes. And so, yes, they have a platinum level, right? Which is at the precise level that the TV cameras will be at, which are mid, you know, structure. They're not at the top anymore. They're mid structure where they would put, you know, Joe and Troy or whoever was doing that game, Chris and Mike. And, so we can look laterally and see the cameras right at our height. This is the platinum level. This is where they keep people out unless they have the wristband that says you may be on
right.
this level.
And
we didn't have the wristband, but we had this. So we're like Wayne and Garth with showing our credentials and they're like, you may pass.
Yes. So we walked right in there.
Oh, and he has a Cal Bears sweatshirt. You definitely
yeah,
pass.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we're instantly in the club level with food, and we didn't take advantage. Well, no, you had a Polish dog or something, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. A bottle of water. Nice. What they claimed was a Polish hot dog. I don't know. I was hoping for a Polish sausage, but what are you going to do?
Right. You're in San Francisco.
I had some notes that how they could improve their free food.
So we went from, and here's the other part. It was starting to be really cold up there too. Like Bob brought his fleece with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wearing a sweatshirt, but dude, the wind was blowing so hard. And by the time we got down to that club level, the difference in temperature was 25 degrees. Maybe more?
Yeah, if you're rich, the wind doesn't blow.
No, there's no level. Wind.
They keep that out. So yeah, I can't imagine what those seats cost in that stadium, to watch that team play. That was the pricey part of Levi's Stadium.
Well, so we're there, and then Bob points down to the field, which is just not too far away at this point. We're having a good time now. We're close.
We now arguably have the best vantage point in the stadium. We've upgraded, and it only took us about half of a quarter.
And Bob points down to the field, and he goes, "What do you see down there?"
I know your favorite cheerleader, Corby.
And I see the San Francisco 49er cheerleaders. I'm like, oh, okay. And then he's like, look a little closer. And of the, because it's just like a Cowboy game or any other NFL game, they've got their cheerleaders kind of sectioned off. There's one in one side, two sets on one side, two on the other. There's probably 25, 30 of them total. And right in front of us is one section of them or one set of them. And one of them's a guy. But it's almost hard to tell because he's wearing the exact same thing, except his hot pants are just kind of shorts.
They're more board pants than...
Right.
He might be able to surf in those more than they are.
Is he showing midriff?
The Daisy Dukes. No. The 49ers cheerleading team was...
They're modest.
Was a little more cold weather garb than... you know, than skimpy, if you will.
But they have one guy cheerleader, which makes it...
I remember the Rams when I went out to the L.A. Coliseum. The Rams had two guy cheerleaders amongst the ladies, and they would do the same dances. So it's not like a college thing where we got eight guys and eight girls, and the guys are holding up the girls.
Right.
No, this is a...
It's dance team.
It was a fully female dance team until we got to a point where guys wanted to be in it. And so in certain parts of the country, that is more welcome than I would imagine in our fine
city. I think the Mavericks have a dude or two on the dance team. I'm not talking about the Maniacs. I'm talking about the actual...
No, I think you're right. I guess our head was immensely going...
But football
going,
is different.
Football is way different.
We thought in this culture war that we live in, that nothing would swing elections more than somebody...
Than a male Dallas Cowboy cheerleader?
Than somebody suing the Cowboys to become the first male Cowboys cheerleader.
And I would...
Lando?
No, EA. We need EA. This little hot outfit.
Like, don't you think that would make the world explode?
Oh, here? Yes. Where we can't even have a pride night at our baseball stadium? That's not even allowed.
Yeah.
But having a dude cheerleader, and the funny part is I mean, the guy is good and doing all the moves, and I mean, he's in perfect...
Well, Governor Abbott would be here within 5 seconds.
Oh, God, dude.
You have a jetpack and just... It'd be amazing.
Ken Paxton with an AR-15. Like,
drawing up a lawsuit right away.
Yeah. But the guy was really good, and I couldn't take my eyes
really
off
good.
Of him.
Yeah, all his moves were right.
Yeah, he was doing everything perfect. But then I was like, Bob... Just take a closer look and watch him do his routine. What movie does this remind you of? The guy seemed to have a little bit of an Asian flair to him, and he looked exactly...
What do you mean by flair?
Shut up. He looked exactly like the guy in Hot Rod that did all the dances.
Now, I will say, my experience in this matter of California NFL football, not that I have to say what state we were in, but with the Rams... they did not have the gentleman on the dance team using the pom-poms. I guess they felt like those were...
He had two stakes.
Gender. I think they just used their hands,
like
too.
Steak.
Because if we hand them pom-poms, well, then...
it's too effeminate.
Gender-defining, perhaps, or affirming. Is that the term I need in today's culture wars? But yes, if you wanted to be the 49er dude amongst the sea of ladies, you will also use the same pom-poms.
And
so it was
interesting.
Sounds nice.
It was nice.
It was helping get the crowd worked into a lather for the next George Kittle reception.
All the dudes with their face painted.
Yeah, you go!
Right.
You go, little Asian man!
Yeah, what does Nick Bosa think of it with his MAGA hat on of this one little cheerleader over there?
I imagine conversations have been had.
In the locker room.
If I were to guess.
So one other thing before we get to, before we leave San Francisco alone for a little bit, and that is the halftime show. They had a show. And we couldn't figure out if they do this on the regular, because it wasn't on the field. They had a stage set up in like the corner of the end zone. And you said that there was a show as well for your, I don't want to spoil your, what was going on in Las Vegas, Dave, but there was a concert, like a 12-minute concert from
Nate Smith.
Nate Smith, a local San Francisco country artist who, according to the powers that be, was like the AMC newcomer of the year. ACM, yeah. So he's a kind of a big deal. But he played for like 12 minutes or whatever. And I was just wondering, who do all teams do this? Was this a Sunday night thing? Did they show this guy at all on TV? Like,
no way.
Yeah, there's no way.
I think it's reaching a point to where they charge so much for tickets now that they feel like they have to throw stuff like this in to keep people coming back.
What happened to the dog that catches frisbees at halftime?
I know.
What's wrong with that?
Not extreme enough.
Where's Red Panda?
Not extreme
on
enough.
On the 50-yard line.
So did you ever get challenged with your media pass?
No.
Did you ever have a brush with ejection?
No.
Not at all.
No.
Snake. No, we didn't get to commandeer club-level seats. But we were able to sit unimpeded or stand unimpeded at the top of the platinum level or whatever you would call
we
it.
Had,
and we it was quite unbelievable.
Our seats were so overpriced where we were.
You deserved it.
That when we moved down, those would have been triple or four times what we paid for those up there. So we felt vindicated. We felt like we belonged. Right, DJ?
You were among your people.
I didn't feel like I belonged there, no.
Oh, shut up. Yes,
not at all.
You didn't even grab a hot dog, did you?
No, I wasn't supposed to be there. I was trying to draw as little attention to us as possible.
Look, there's Mina Kimes eating hot dog.
I thought hanging with Corby makes a lot of sense, and he normally seems to know what he's doing in those situations. It's like going with Obi-Wan to Mos Eisley spaceport, right. And he just sort of waves his hand and things just start happening for us. So I did help myself to the free.
As you should. Comida. It was there for us.
Yeah.
It was there for. We didn't drink any of their drinks or anything like that. We didn't go crazy. We just
it wasn't like at SoFi where we cleaned out the fridge.
Westwood One,
yeah,
fridge.
Westwood One like, fridge.
Hey, there's no more beer in here.
It's like Cornholio just going.
All right. So at 5:30 today, after Joel Klatt joins us, we'll have a big discussion on our wild, wild scene that we had heading to Berkeley to the Cal Bears game. Our Cal Bears game. Since now we have spent money, Bob, on tickets. And gear.
Yeah. And one money.
And one money. It's our Bears.
No doubt.
I was thinking about this, though, that this was the most hard-charging sports weekend that I've had in a long, long time. Meaning, we took the earliest flight we could to San Francisco on Friday. We went straight to Kezar Stadium, all right, which is the old 49er stadium. So we saw a sports stadium right away. And then we went and did our sports show at the sports station KNBR in San Francisco.
Right.
We have a nice meal at Nanking.
That's not sports.
That was the least sportsiest place.
Well, we were streaming sports, though, while we were there.
Yeah, we were. We were watching the World Series while there. Okay. We go straight back to Pacifica, our hamlet of choice, and we watch said World Series. And I believe there was a Friday night football game.
Boise State.
That's right. It was Ashton Gentry and UNLV. We stayed up and watched that whole game. DJ and I did. And then we wake up Saturday morning.
I was a little sleepy.
He got sweet.
Yeah.
You almost made it, though. We wake up Saturday morning, and football starts at 9 a.m.
California time. And so, boom, it's there we go. Football's on.
Yep.
And
our Sooners.
Our Sooners. We sportsed really hard for like the first half or so, and then we got in the car and we drove straight to a football game to go see Cal Bears.
Yep.
And as soon as that game was over with, we get in the car, we listened to the end of the TCU-Texas Tech game.
We did.
We listened to the end of the Vanderbilt-Texas game.
Did.
We drove to Sausalito across the Golden Gate Bridge, and we watched the first half of the Texas A&M game. Get in the car, listen to the end of the first half of the Texas A&M game. Get back to our place. We've got split screens of A&M LSU World Series going on our YouTube TV app. Sunday, and we finish that out, and then we stay up and we watch Colorado and who are they playing, Deej?
Non-Colorado.
UNLV?
No, that was Friday night. That was Friday night. I can't remember. Anyway, it was a Big 12 game. So we wake up Sunday morning, and games start at 10 a.m.
Not for me.
Oh, Bob got up early to watch Liverpool and Arsenal, so that was on.
Okay.
And then the quad box came on of the NFL games, the 10 o'clock NFL games. Bob, meanwhile, is back on the couch with his computer open, watching the end of the Arsenal-Liverpool game, and also watching the Mexico Grand Prix.
Gee whiz.
It was so insane. And then, before you know it, our noon window is over with, and we get in the car and we drive straight to San Francisco, or I guess to Santa Clara to watch the Cowboy game, and back we came. It was hard charging sports.
Yeah, Monday World Series and Monday Night Football.
Yes, and then I forgot about Monday. Forgot we were even there, but yes, same thing. Like, we sportsed our ass off over a four-day period.
That's just an average weekend for Bob.
No, there's no way he can get away with all that.
Well,
he does have a family.
It was a lot. It was a lot of sports. And it was fun.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
And we reintroduced Corby to baseball. He watched more baseball this weekend.
A lot of baseball. And you know what? It was fun. Bob said, I go, man, this is the most baseball I've watched all year. And he goes, well, it's an important stretch.
This is a good time to dive in. This is where we decide this thing.
Yeah, but it was awesome. We had a good time. And yeah, we'll have all the deets of our trip to Berkeley, home of Phil Lesh. More on that at 4:15. Mm. But let's get things cranked up here, as we would like to stay on time. We have a large, large show today. Lots going on, and we're going to be live from CC Young, the senior living community right here on the north side of White Rock Lake off of Northwest Highway and Lawther. And we'll fill you in on everything CC Young is about as the day progresses, but they have the Trunk or Treat Halloween Jamboree going on right beside us, in which all the cars are decorated and all the kids are getting ready to go trunk to trunk and get some of that candy, some of that free candy.
For real, for free.
I mean, I think it's free.
Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the snake pit. And now, with something completely over the top, the host and star of the Snake Pit. Snake.
Brought to you by
Twin Peaks.
All right, thank you very much. So Saturday was a pretty glorious day in Hardline Land. Dave, we certainly missed you. But we had a good day. We had things kind of all planned out, where the main attraction was to head to a place that none of us had ever been to before. I'd been to Berkeley, but I'd never been to the campus of Cal. That's a shot. Right after Phil Lesh, too. Unbelievable. Mm. But he didn't wear
shoes the entire day.
But I'd never been to the campus. I'd never been to the stadium. And lo and behold, when we planned this trip, Bob found it pretty quickly that Cal was playing Oregon State. And so away we went.
Yes.
About 45 minutes away from where we were staying, right across the Bay Bridge. The bridge, Dave, if you remember, collapsed during the 1989 World Series earthquake. The top part went right down onto the bottom part. Mm.
Did a car or two go into the sea that day? I feel like
I don't know how they could have avoided it.
It ended very poor. Well, the bottom platform, I think, stayed.
Held together?
I think so, but obviously not if a car or two ended up in the sea. We should look into that.
Yeah, whatever. It was gruesome and horrific and all that. And I've been over that bridge 3 times now, and it's all I think about is we're cruising over it. Is just like, oh, okay, just keep going a little faster.
The whole Bay Area is just one big bridge. It's just bridge after bridge after bridge.
And how do they build it?
And all we can think of is, A, how do they build any of these back when they built them, and B, our demise as we, right, they're called the void, Dave. Like that, I don't know how bridges don't make you call the void.
Especially out there in that sea.
Yeah.
So we head out to Berkeley, and both you guys had a pizza joint in mind that we went to. Very quaint town, like super college-y feel, real small downtown area. I guess quaint is the proper word. Just cutesy, artsy-fartsy restaurants, bars, shopping. Nothing real chain-related, though.
Berkeley population 125, huh?
Pretty small.
Wow.
Pretty small. The campus, or I guess the enrollment's big, though. It's about 30 or 40, and it's, for those who don't know, it is very high-minded. You have to be a smarty-pants of the highest smarty-pant to get into that school.
Is there a school in the United States that would be considered more liberal?
It's always had that tag. Is it still, though? I mean, do kids
yet
go
it,
there?
Yet it produced Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's pretty strange.
Ironically.
Yeah. And so we had a yummy, yummy, yummy couple of slices of pizza. We asked our bartender how far away the stadium was because we were flying blind, dude. We had no idea. And
we weren't worried about much because we got to the pizza place 90 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah, it's not like there's a line to get in.
Well, and then we casually ate our pizza.
Did you have to fight through the 10,000 Oregon State fans that had driven down?
I think he meant 10.
There were about 100, maybe. You could count them in the stadium.
When he said 10,000, he meant 10.
So the lady at the pizza parlor told us, because we were like, how far away is the stadium? We couldn't see it or anything. It's up on the hills, as Joel Klatt was just describing to us, but we couldn't see the stadium. And she goes, oh, yeah, you can't walk. It's a long walk. You could probably take a bus. To which I turn to DJ and I say, I am bus people. I can do this. And DJ frowned at me.
Just disgusting for you to try to latch onto that.
Yeah.
I'm the only one with recent experience on the bus. So, but we're like, we're not taking the bus. We have our car. The one thing that drove me crazy as we left our place was that I forgot all credentials that I have stuffed in my bag, whether it's from Super Bowls or World Series or anything.
Spring training,
the NFL draft. I always keep them in the car just in case we might encounter an episode like this.
Right. It's like you're, like a little satchel of disguises.
Yes.
Like you're a spy.
Right, exactly, right. Well, I forgot all of that. And we didn't have anything. Bob didn't, DJ didn't. We don't have a card. We have nothing denoting that we are media.
We had 3 cheap tickets and nothing to tell them who we were.
Yeah, except, you just look like dudes.
Except DJ was wearing a ticket quarter zip.
Right. So nothing. And so we keep driving, having no idea where we're going, all right?
But GPS doesn't work?
Well, yeah. We knew the stadium was close, so we just kept going toward it. Well, there comes a big intersection in which the cops are everywhere, and there's blockades and everything like that, and on the side of the road, you see a sign that says, must have proper pass to go forward, meaning this was the primo lot to get into, and if you didn't have the credentials to get in, they were not going to let you in.
And, so, of course, Corby has to try.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, if you're riding with Corby, you want Corby to try because you've seen it work so many times.
But we have nothing on
us. But no props this time.
We had zero props.
It's like Carrot Top walking out on stage with nothing.
He forgot his suitcase back at his hotel room.
Right. And so we pull up, we get to the intersection, and people are flashing their parking passes and things like that, and they're letting them through, and then we see people turning off that don't have it, and so we wave the police officer over, and I'm in the passenger seat at this point, and I roll down the window, and I said, he looks at me, and he's like, can I help you, or where's your credential, or your pass? I'm like, we actually need to go to media will call to pick it up.
Yeah.
Can you assist us where that is? And he was like, man, that's over in the Randolph lot. You're not even close. And I go, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, what? Here I am.
Yeah.
And he said,
the game can't start without us.
And he said, you need to call your contact. We can't let you through. And I go, okay, well, which way is media will call? And he goes, you're going to have to turn around, go back the other direction, go down the hill, take a right. I mean, it was a whole thing, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Now, is this where you mentioned Pam from ESPN?
No.
No, not yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I spoiled that Pam is waiting for us.
Pam? Did you say Pam?
So I go, look, what? Well, okay, if you're making us turn around, how do we do it? Because we're blockaded in, we're at a four-way intersection, how do we go? He goes, I'll let you through, just go up the little hill 50 yards away, turn around. And
do you think we turned around?
Don't floor it and go around the corner when he's not looking.
And so we go, and Bob goes, go, 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 keep going, keep going. And on we go up this hill.
Yeah.
And we see, as we get up this hill, we're kind of turning around waiting for the cops to follow us or whatever. We get out of their sight, and there's a split off in the road. To the right, there is another guy, another parking guy, where the people with the ultimate passes,
checkpoint two,
go to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's just keep going past this guy because I don't want them to radio to this guy saying, do not let this car in. And so up the hill we went to the left instead of veering to the right to the parking lot. And as we go up the hill, we see Cal Berkeley Lab Experiment Building. And, dude, it was like getting into Fort Knox. There were huge fences and barricades and lighting. And, I mean,
The laboratory was Fort Knox.
Yes.
You're not getting in there.
This was the smartest people in the world doing the smartest experiments in the world.
That's right.
And
that's where they're creating new COVID.
And we,
yes,
we asked DJ if he was prepared to be Scientist Ringenberg as we enter into this place to park.
And his beanie and his ticket quarters.
Right. He looked like the biggest stoner in the world. And so,
yeah, actually, that's where they're creating the next hurricane.
Right,
so
there.
It's going to be interesting.
At lab headquarters. So we have to turn back around, and then we're like, okay, we can't go back down the hill.
Right.
We've got to take a left and see if we can get in here with this other attendant into a lot that we were pretty sure was the best lot there was.
It's so close to the stadium, and it's so preferred parking.
Yeah.
That we just had to try.
So we pull in, and there's this guy, and he goes, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, we were here for media overflow, and Pam from ESPN told us to come up here. And he looks at me, and he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's just media overflow lot, which is a standard tried-and-true thing for me to say.
Yes.
Media overflow.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have enough spots at the Cal game for the
that no one's at
10 media people to go to. And he looks at me and he goes, I've heard nothing about this. And I'm like, well,
you know Pam, don't you?
And I'm like, well, we have. So what do we do? And he kind of looks at me and throws his hands up in the air. And I'm like, I'm just going to park down here. And he was just like, all right. And away we went.
Now, our parking spot here, Dave, is probably not as close as we got at Tiger Stadium, where we had the first parking stall next to, like, the pitcher's mound. But this one is so ideal. It's such a good, like, clearly the folks in there are the finest donors that Cal has and the most important officials. And, yeah, there we are with our little rental car and our dumb game get-together group that's just going to drop in 15 minutes before kickoff, and we just pull right in, and we park, and we walk right down the little path and right into the stadium.
I think we're all expecting to get caught at some point very quickly as well, because it was such a thrown-together excuse, and just kind of rolled through the guy as you were talking to him, and just
we're definitely not dressed as important people. We're looking our normal Saturday selves.
DJ's right. I kind of kept rolling as we were talking to the guy. Finally, he just kind of was like, whatever. What am I going to do here?
Yeah, he doesn't want to ruin his day.
No, exactly. We'd already gotten past the cops.
It's just if you can exhibit confidence.
That's it.
Albeit false confidence, most people watching parking lots literally don't care.
Yeah, Pam at ESPN said that I was starting at safety today. I'm late. I got to get dressed.
Yeah, I don't have my pads on me right now, but I'm going to get them. So, yeah, we take the little walk down there.
So, like always, we have nothing with us, and we somehow end up parking at the finest spot at the stadium.
It was glorious. And we don't know how much parking would have cost. We don't even know how far the walk would have been. But I do know this walk down the hill, up the hill was 3 minutes. Down the hill was about a minute and a half to get to the stadium. It was absolutely perfect. All right, so the journey continues as we enter the stadium and we encounter our first Aaron Rodgers sighting. Next.
The ticket.
Well, we are here at CC Young Senior Living on the north side of White Rock Lake, Lothar and Northwest Highway, where if you have a loved one that is thinking about senior living from an independent living standpoint to assisted living, if they need skilled nursing, everything is here on this wonderful, huge campus.
Memory care
at CC Young. They are wrapping things up with their trunk or treat. All the kids were running around getting their candy with all the cars that were decked out, the trunks open, and it was a very, very cool scene out here on the lanai at CC Young. So thanks to those people for coming out, and thanks to all the P1s and their kids for coming out as well. So we're in the middle of the story about going to Cal Berkeley for the weekend on Saturday to go see Cal Oregon State. We finagled our way into the best parking, I think, that Berkeley had to offer for the stadium. And then we walked over to the stadium itself, and
100 years old. 101.
100 years old. This thing was like 70,000 seats in the 20s.
I think it was built as a memorial to those who fought in World War I, Dave.
That's how old this was. And you can see the sign, dedicated to our fallen heroes or soldiers. And I'm like, oh, Vietnam? World War II, maybe? No. This was World War I.
These boys were in the trenches.
God, man. It's so weird to see that. And up we went, and look, it's Berkeley, it's mid-October, the weather is absolutely perfect. You're comfortable in shorts and a t-shirt, you're comfortable in jeans and a hoodie, whatever you want to wear, it's perfect.
Was Corby just twirling up the hill?
It was incredible.
His arms just swaying.
Yeah, he tried to hug a few trees, but we pulled him back with his leash. We kept him away, but it was... It's weird because on one hand, you could tell that barely anybody wanted to be part of this, and it gave you a really good look at how football, I realize being a Big Ten guy, that football is big in places not named Texas, but in Texas, it is pretty over the top how much people care about this sport I love. And that goes for Friday nights, Saturdays, and Sundays. And it, you know, you could say it's a religion people have. And to the point where you can get over 100,000 at two different places in this state for college football. Several other big-time crowds in college football. And they can all be happening on the same day, and you don't run out of college football fans. California ain't that. I think it's very clear. We had two choices of games on Saturday. We could have gone to Stanford and sat with a 20% capacity crowd as they played Wake Forest, or we could have gone to Cal and sat with a 20% capacity at the most as they played Oregon State. And I know the 49ers are a big deal. I guess the Rams are sort of a big deal. The Chargers are not really. But on the college scene, I don't know, man. Maybe USC.
Dude, but USC's got to be good for them to care. They're not showing up like A&M. When they're bad, people are still showing up.
The football's good. The football religion part is just not a thing.
No, and there's other stuff to do.
Sure.
Like everything to do outside. And so I get it. I don't blame these people one bit for not being rabid sports fans because they have more things to do than we do. It's just a fact. And so playing Oregon State, too, and we get there and we're up at the very top of the bowl, and this is a classic sunken bowl. Up on a hillside, as Joel Klatt said, overlooking the water and the city and all that. And we get up there and we're going to go get our – because the sun was shining and it was bright. And even though it was 72 degrees outside, we were like, maybe a little steamy out here.
Well, and you have a bald friend. And,
true.
And, you know, this is where I was going to step in if we needed and talk about my skin issues and why I need to be in the shade. But I didn't even have to because everybody is so chill at the game and honestly not really bothered by it. But I have to be hat guy outside. I prefer to be sit in the shade guy outside and not have to wear a hat or pull up a hood or anything like that. Skin cancer is a real thing.
It is.
And I don't like to act like I've been battling it because that's not being truthful.
You don't
truthful.
Want to claim to be a survivor?
No, I don't. I don't. I just, but I don't know that you can just say I'm trying to prevent it and they'll let you sit in the shade. But we just thought, let's take a shot. There's very small part of the stadium in shade, but let's see if we can sit in it.
Yeah. And we got our water, and as we start walking across the stadium to the shaded area pregame.
Did they let you just walk across the field?
They probably could have. But I felt on the back of my heels something strike me. And I could feel the ground reverberate a little bit too. And I was like, the hell? And I turn around, or DJ and I turn around, and there is a woman who completely collapsed at my feet. And
like on the back of your legs.
Hit.
Kind of rolled up on you like an offensive lineman.
Truly. And
so you broke her fall, kind of.
Well.
He did.
You saved her life.
He absolutely did.
Her head, though, still hit the back of the concrete.
Ugh.
And
she fell face first or
back of the head?
And her, we turned around and looked at her, and her eyes were rolled back in the back of her head and like, you know, shivering or whatever you want to call that, like the REM sleep where your eyes are going crazy. That's what we saw on the ground.
Yeesh.
We were like, oh my God. Now, DJ wanted to leave. I wanted to stay and help. And
God, good luck with your crap.
Well, there were medics there, and she was answering questions, but it did pose that weird mystery to all of us of like, so how long
do we have to stay?
Do we stand here?
Do you guys need to take a statement?
Yeah, very curb your enthusiasm. Game's about to start.
We need to find a seat.
The shade's filling up over there.
I mean, I don't think we can help. I hope things turn out here well, but I got to grab a bottle of water before the game starts.
Right.
So did she just faint?
I think so.
Yeah, or dehydrate. I don't know. She's a little older, would you say? Maybe in her 60s or so.
Yeah.
Bob thought it was a guy, of course.
It was.
He was judging.
It was Pat from Saturday Night Live might have fallen on Corby.
So we.
Fanny pack?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We head over to our. As we head over to our seats, we realize that, look, we have got to. We got to make this game interesting.
Yeah.
And so we asked DJ how much he has in his gambling account.
If he had one.
Yeah, hypothetically.
If he had one. And DJ, what was the answer to that?
I had about $207 in there.
That he could bet. That he was allowed to bet.
Yeah, $207 hypothetical dollars.
Yes. And I immediately looked at Bob and we're like, not enough juice, man. Luckily,
we can't bet just $200 on this game.
We knew a guy in Vegas, Dave Lane, who randomly was in Vegas for the weekend, and we had the panic phone call of calling Dave and like,
to an ATM now.
Go now.
Yeah, I pick up the phone. I'm like, why is Corby calling me?
as I am in the hotel room, lying on the bed, watching College Game Day or whatever, entertaining my kid.
Yeah, nursing him.
While my wife is getting ready in the bathroom, and I get this panicked call. Are you close to the sports book? Can you go now? Can you go now? I'll Venmo you $300. Go now.
Go, go, go.
So I have to alert Marissa, hey, I've got to go right this second and run downstairs for Corby and Bob.
Yeah, because Bob and I were splitting a $300 parcel to wager on this game.
Yeah, and so then I get down to the sports book, and they only have like two windows open with actual humans, and the line is 12 to 15 deep.
Ugh. Not enough time.
Yeah, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to get to the window before kick. And so I go over to the kiosks, and I had to get money out. I already had my own money, and I was like, it's okay. They Venmo'd me, so I'm just going to transfer this money in my head to them.
Right.
It's not my money anymore. It's their money. And so I put it in the machine, and I pull up the bet slip, and I put $300 on Cal, and I hit enter, and it says, over the limit. It's like this kiosk does not allow bets of $200 or more.
Vegas, what are we doing here?
They're trying to keep us from winning.
I know.
Yes.
But then I was like, well, I'll just split it into two tickets, because it didn't matter.
Yeah,
It was just against the spread. It didn't matter. And so then I immediately take pictures of the slips to you, and like, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then we got the picture, and Corby panicked, because our line was minus 11. Your line was minus 13.
It had gone up, and we're like, oh, no. And DJ was like, dude, maybe I should go all in on the other side.
Just to cover your bet?
On Oregon State. And we're like, no. We're all in this together. And so the hard line all in.
Can't name a player on either team.
No.
Don't know anything about either team. But now we're laying two touchdowns to Oregon State just because we're bored.
Right. And the hard line all in went 500 in on Cal. It was such a great first half, because at the half, Cal was up 31-0.
Yes. You guys are just dancing in the stands.
We are high-fiving.
We were the biggest Cal Bear fans in the entire stadium.
We found out that their quarterback, what's his name?
Francisco Mendoza.
Yeah, Francisco Mendoza.
And SMU better be ready when he comes to town.
Bro, watch out for this kid. So Cal had lost four straight games. Three of them were by like 2 points or less. Like, they're legit good. And they put an ass-whooping on Oregon State in that first half.
The first touchdown is worth finding. I should look for it online.
That's awesome, dude.
Because it kind of turned into a hook and lateral, because he throws it out to the flat, and the running back is locked up with a couple linebackers. So then the quarterback runs by him, and he pitches it to the quarterback, and the quarterback runs into the end zone.
Yeah.
How great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Dude, it was so much fun. And we stayed through the third quarter.
We never broke a sweat. You're just sitting there looking at mountains and looking at unbelievable scenery, and your team keeps scoring touchdowns. And it was just it honestly was one of the coolest Saturday afternoons you could have.
We went to the...
I'm not saying the best college football atmosphere ever.
No.
But it was just a really fun, chill Saturday afternoon.
Well, and then I saw on...
In which we made $500.
I saw on the Soch that... Second half, you went on a little walk.
Well, okay, so briefly, there is a spot at Cal where, if you've ever watched games at Cal, and we have over the years, because they did have Aaron Rodgers, they did have Jared Goff, they did have Marshawn Lynch, and so there was a time where they were sort of relevant, and we would watch games, and invariably they would talk about two things. One was the hippies living in the tree, so they don't cut the tree down right outside the stadium. I was unable to identify which tree it was, but I can report there are trees around that stadium, and if hippies saved it, good for them. The other thing that they always show when they do games at Cal is a place called Tightwad Hill, where up one of the mountains there's a cannon that they fire off, because apparently you can't have a cannon inside a football stadium in California. So they go up on top of the mountain,
Libs.
And they fire the cannon and, you know, whatever.
Cannonball goes firing off everywhere.
But the point is, it's up on a mountain overlooking the stadium, and you can actually see the entire field from from cannon-adjacent positioning up on the mountain.
For free, hence Tightwad Hill.
So people actually do go up there rather than buying a ticket, which...
And what are the cheap tickets, like $10?
Our tickets on SeatGeek were like 20th row, 35-yard line for $35 each. And so
you have to be a real tightwad.
Yes, I'm sure you could have got in for $10, and you have to be a really tightwad, but it's kind of the tradition, I guess. So as we're leaving the stadium, I'm like, man, we gotta do it.
And luckily our parking
spot... We're never going to be back here.
...was right next to Tightwad Hill. Literally, like, we walked 30 yards, and it was right there. Because we had the primo spot parking-wise.
Yes.
And it was really cool. Like, it's such a cool college thing to have something like that.
Yeah.
And, dude, like, when we were watching, they did the retrospective of certain Cal NFL players, and we were talking about Aaron Rodgers, and as we saw the players entering the stadium, they were entering through. We were in the stadium, outside the stadium, the players all run through the crowd, but they're coming out of Aaron Rodgers' locker room.
Yeah.
That's what it's named. He probably... spent $10 million to refurbish
it. He's only made $300 million in the NFL, and he took a couple of those million and built a locker room.
Yes.
He gave back.
Yes, he you know what? He's a very giving man. Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool, unlike though. Favre. It was cool to see, but then they start doing the...
He's a very taking man.
Well, it evens out in the end.
And we were wondering, like, okay, when Aaron Rodgers was here, and they were badass. Like, they were top five when he was there. That's like one game in the Pac-12.
Mac Brown kept him out of the national title
game.
He
did. Mac Brown bitched, out of the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
Which was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, and so, dude, it was one of those deals where, like, we were so focused on Aaron Rodgers, we forgot the other quarterback who played there in Jared Goff, and they put Detroit up on the screen, and they're running Detroit plays, and I was like, huh, I wonder who on Detroit plays for Cal. Why are they showing so much? And they kept showing Jared Goff throwing. I'm like, God, is one of these receivers, did they go to? And they're like, oh, my God. And Bob goes, dude, we forgot he went to Cal.
He was the first pick in the draft in 2016.
Yeah. So they have history there?
Yeah.
Like, big history.
Big history.
I mean, how many schools have two quarterbacks that start in the NFL? One or two?
Here we go.
This is right.
This is an Oklahoma
end-around. One has five. I guess
Spencer
second,
Rattler doesn't count.
I guess second place is probably two. But yeah,
that's
dude.
That's the only reason we're doing this.
That's the only reason we went to Cal. To get in the 5-second plug. But it was a great day, dude. We had such a good time, Dave. We missed you.
Yeah.
I missed you guys, but I'm glad that I was able to facilitate the big hardline win.
Well, and then Dave ends up later on that night.
Yeah, how much did you win? Roughly. How many points, hypothetical points, did you win?
Over 700.
From a bet of
it is
60.
The most successful, because we have been on a torrid losing streak.
Dave hit a 14 parlay.
Torrid losing streak. And suddenly, the hardline comes back with thousands of dollars.
Yep. Yeah. I guess we can maybe talk about it in the cold tomorrow, because it relates to Picks with Friends.
Okay.
But not only did you hit a 14 parlay, but my favorite part was your last leg was A&M.
Yeah. I was sweating it at halftime.
Which I just thought.
We were in the car, and he's like, he is freaking out over how he wants to shoot A&M.
Like, if you've ever seen Dave and A&M, you know it's a very spotty relationship, and now they're costing him his 14 parlay until they didn't.
No.
They delivered.
God bless you, Marcel Reed.